Welcome back to West Coast Mix and Bounce. I'm your co-host Leslie Torres, joined by...
I'm Brana Marks.
West Coast Mix and Bounce is brought to you by Sports Al Dente, your recipe for LA sports. If you love this podcast and love LA sports, then you need to go check out sportsaldente.com right now. We are a Los Angeles player-centric media platform, and our passion is to feature the great players and teams of LA. We are also fully dedicated to giving expert weekly and daily advice in the world of fantasy football. We also offer three different affordable membership packages, monthly, yearly, and lifetime. So when you go to subscribe, make sure to use our promo code WCMB and get 10% off any package. And also make sure to connect with us on Twitter and Instagram once you've subscribed. So not much has kind of happened during this NBA offseason, but enough has happened that we can kind of talk and chat about what we think. Draymond Green has signed a contract extension. Lance Stephenson is going to China. There has been leaks on the NBA schedule, so we're going to talk all about that, and also we want to touch on the WNBA, which is getting closer to playoff time, so, and of course we'll talk about our West Coast teams once it comes to the WNBA, but first, let's go talk about Draymond Green. Let's start off with him. He recently agreed to an extension with the Warriors for 4 years, $100 million deal. Sorry.
Yep, so he definitely secured the bag with that one.
Right? What do you think? Was that a good deal, bad deal? Should he have waited?
I mean, I think honestly, he's a good investment. Now, the only thing that like is kind of unbalanced is that he has a play option when Steph and Klay don't. So, and Draymond can literally get like an extra $11 million if he actually seeks a trade with that contract that he has right now. So obviously what it looks like is Draymond was in there negotiating. And the Warriors were kind of like, okay, man, like you've done a lot for this team. We're definitely going to give you as much as we can. And that's basically what the deal came down to. And I agree with the Warriors kind of taking a risk with that, because obviously looking at their team now, they're not the same team they were 6 months ago. You know, so Klay is out for a full year. You have Steph, Durant's gone. And Draymond is really a key piece. If he stays around, he is going to not only improve the legacy that he already has, but kind of allow the Warriors not to deflate completely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, props to Rich Paul, because he, you know, him and Draymond Green made this deal, so they must be pretty happy right now. And I would say it's kind of like a win-win, I think, for both of them. It's a good deal for Draymond just because he's not as young as he was maybe 3 or 4 years ago when he was like better and at his prime. So this contract gives him, you know, a little bit more of certainty going into the next 3 or 4 years of his career when he's like hitting like 33 and 34. And, you know, I kind of thought like, you know, what if he would have gone to the free agent market, you know, in the next couple of years? Let's say he signed just a 1 or 2 year deal with the Warriors. I think his value would have diminished maybe just a little bit just because simply of his age. You know, look at how much trouble Carmelo Anthony and Jeremy Lin are having trying to get into the league. And so I would just say I think it was a very smart choice by Draymond. And, you know, he's definitely getting his money. Not as much as he probably would have gotten in free agency, but still a lot for 4 years. You know, and so
definitely I think a lot of security behind those numbers too.
Yes, exactly. And then they also, like you said, they put in a player option for him, so that kind of helps him out just if he's traded or not. And then I think recently new information has came out that he has a trade kicker in his contract, so he will receive 15%, which means if he gets traded, he'll kind of get the money he was owed times like 15% or something like that. Just basically he gets traded, he gets more money.
That extra $11 million, that's basically what he could get considering what his contract has with the kicker.
Exactly. And so I just think, like, it's a win-win for both. So if the Warriors don't want him, they're going to make it tough to kind of get rid of him. But, you know, in a way, it's kind of saying, like, look at how tough we're making it to get rid of you. That's because we're kind of not planning to get rid of you. So, I don't know. It's the Warriors. It's like kind of a classic move. They just keep on fostering this culture of, like, we take care of our players, and it's a player-first organization, you know? And so I feel it makes
– that's weird, so.
It allows Green to be a little bit more comfortable and, like, you know, okay, well, I'm going to be here for at least 3 more years. Let's win a championship. Let's do this. So –
yeah, and he said that too. He said, you know, he wants to stay around for a while. Now, yeah. and that those words, you know, can be a little risky to say nowadays, because it seems like players are more into themselves, or not players and organizations are more into themselves than anybody else right now. But I don't know. He kind of reminds me of Iguodala in a way that he really loved the franchise. Like, you know, he changed his whole demeanor. You know, he stopped going after refs and he started to focus more on his teammates. So kind of he made like an emotional change there, which I'm sure gives a heavy connection. He won championships there. You know, he was named Defensive Player of the Year in 2017. So it's kind of like he's built a history. And he definitely succeeded in getting a contract to back what he's already given the Warriors.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's worth definitely that money and stuff. It's just, you know, it's just the NBA is getting so much better and free agency is, like, getting so much bigger and widespread that you have so many options. And I think it was a wise choice for him to just get a contract extension with a team he already knows. And a place he already knows, and, you know, keep winning, because that's what it's all about.
Exactly. I mean, on the flip side of that, Lance Stephenson, who was just with the Lakers for a little kind of comfortable one-year contract that he had, turned around and goes to China. I was completely blindsided by that. Did you see that coming?
I did not. I was like, I wonder what team's going to sign him, just because he really didn't get any bite during free agency. So, I mean, I don't want to say, like, oh, my God, I knew it was coming. But he had to go somewhere. He had to sign somewhere. But I did not see China coming. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, China. I was like, China? Like, I would have never thought he would have just went overseas, you know? Like, he's a good player. It's hard for him because he jumped around a lot of teams in the last few years. I mean, 7 to be exact. I mean, he was on the Pacers, he was on the Hornets, he was on the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, and then the Lakers. So he hasn't got that spotlight time. Like, everybody really, I think for the most part, people know that Lance Stephenson is a good player. But he's just always been, you know, that bench player, some guy to come off the bench. He's never been the superstar. But I just don't know if I agree with him going to China to, like, up his game and then trying to come back. You know, I feel like it's harder to transition back than to just kind of stay in the league, or maybe even go to, like, you know, like the D League or something like that, than to go all the way overseas where they play completely differently. They have all these restrictions on foreign players. You know, you may or may not get time. You know, you may or may not start. So I don't know. Like, I'm actually really curious to kind of just keep track of what he's going to be doing in China and if he plans to come back.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's a good choice for him. Just because two things. Okay. don't hate me, Bronna. No, just kidding.
No.
She's like, you're the worst now. Opinion.
That's why we're having this conversation.
No, but I see your point. I know what you mean. But I feel that two things are kind of different for Lance Stephenson. Is that one, he just signed a one-year deal. And so I feel that he's going to make himself then available for next year's free agency, when it's about to be another good time where super teams are going to keep being made or are going to be moved around. So I feel like he's like, you know what? If I'm him, this is what I'm thinking. So I'm pretty sure it's really close. But he's probably thinking, you know, no team has signed me. Let me go play for China 1 year, $4 million. Why not? Rather than just sitting on my ass, like getting old and wasting time, and then still have that opportunity to either one, gain way more fans in China, where the NBA is already so big and so crazy. If he goes over there, gets a bunch of fans, balls out, and like plays good, next free agency, they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, he could be a good complement to this super team we're trying to build, or he can complement this. And he already comes with all this like extraness that we already know of Lance Stephenson. So I feel like if he plays well, it could work out in his favor. And that's the key right there, playing well. I mean, he's kind of versatile off the ball and can, you know, work in many different kind of defensive lineups. So I just feel like if he can work and make it work, then it's going to be a positive thing. But if not, then I would be more headed towards your way. He can get lost out there and everybody just suddenly forget his name. Unless he's like doing crazy and amazing stuff out there that kind of makes you remember his name. So hopefully I'm being maybe more optimistic and it's going to go positively well and that he's going to ball out and continue to come back. But
I mean, I'm sure that was his whole strategy. So it's not like you're off the mark at all. I'm sure that what he's hoping to do is exactly what you said. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to keep up with it. I want to see what happens.
Because I mean, there's other players, like for example, Nick Young. He also was with the Lakers for a while. Then he went to the Warriors, you know. And then after that, he kind of just stopped playing basketball. Teams didn't want him. Or he wasn't, like, a value to their team. And so now he's just not playing basketball. Maybe if he would have gone to China, what if things change? Who knows? But, you know, at least Stephenson is out there trying to take a chance and not, you know, be like,
just stop playing.
Exactly. Or end up like I've talked about them before, like Carmelo or Jeremy Lin, who can't even get jobs, basically. So
basically,
I mean, I feel like it's a balance, and if he thinks he can boss out and work it out, then we'll see. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next thing we have is the opening night of the NBA season leaked. So we know who's playing each other on October 22nd. The Toronto Raptors against the Pelicans and the Lakers against the Clippers. Obviously, I think hopefully both of us definitely are looking forward to LA versus LA.
Oh, I cannot wait. We've discussed so many trades and signings and who should go where and who should be there and this and that just to finally see it come to fruition and like right in front of our faces and actually like watch it and like no stats. It's just, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm so excited. You know what I'm also excited about?
The fans.
Yeah. I wonder whose home it's going to be.
I don't know.
Because it just
I haven't actually seen like if it's gonna be away or home.
Yeah, because it just said in the like you know on the leaks it just says Staples Center. Well, like duh, but like is it gonna be the Clippers' home? Is it gonna be the Lakers' home? Because you know the fans right now are gonna go crazy, especially for opening day. Like, oh, amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm sure all the tickets are already bought out. Like, the center is going to be filled, like, I believe, like, every game. There's no way it's not. So I'm just excited to see the matchups. I'm excited to see, you know, because obviously that's probably the biggest rivalry right now is who is going to be LA's team. That's been the question last season, and it's still the question, like, heading into it because you have two really just power-filled teams, but just different spectrums of basketball almost, and they're facing off. Like, and they're literally across the street from each other, basically. So it's just kind of like, I'm super excited to see not only like the energy, but the talent display, you know, the drama that I'm sure is going to fill the stadium between celebrities attending and all kinds of stuff, who takes sides of what. But yeah, definitely going to be watching that on opening day, no matter where I am.
Yeah, no, that game is going to be intense and exciting just for the same reasons you just said. There's like a game within a game, you know, people are going to see Paul George and, you know, how he wanted to be a Laker and then he didn't. And then so he went to OKC, now he's with the Clippers. So that's going to be like one interpersonal battle between fans and Paul George. And then Kawhi, same thing. And then, you know, Clippers fans and Lakers fans and bandwagoner fans. And it's going to be little
and people battles are waiting to see what LeBron is going to do when he comes back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. And then there's AD, and then there's no more, like, Brandon Ingram, no more Lonzo Ball. So it's just going to be a completely, totally different dynamic. And so I'm just, honestly, I'm excited. And so even if I wasn't a fan of the Lakers, I would still be excited to watch this game because there's just so much going on that we, that we can all get a little piece of fun from.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, you have Toronto and the Pelicans facing off. So the former NBA champs and Zion, basically. Zion and his little young crew that they acquired from the Lakers. So I feel like that is completely, not complete opposite sides of the spectrum for such a game, but it's just kind of going to just tell us the story of, you know, young guys versus older guys, I feel like.
I think so, too. Kind of like a, I feel like what they're trying to set up is like a mature team because the Raptors, you know, just won, so they should be looked at as mature and like, we got this. Yeah. And then you have like a team full of like less than 3 years players on one squad. And then you have Zion, who's like made such a name for himself in the past 2 years. And I'm just excited to see him, period, you know, how his game translates to the NBA. And then you add all the components that is Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and then you have a couple of vets on the Pelicans. And that's basically a really solid team. Let's see how they handle the NBA kind of way. So I'm excited for that, too. That's going to be another must-watch. Yeah. Must-watch.
Yeah. So I'm ready for October 22nd. I'm counting down the days.
Okay, so which day are you most excited for? Opening day or Christmas day?
Christmas. Definitely more excited for Christmas.
Yeah, so Christmas Day games, they have Lakers versus Clippers. Also, we don't know whose home it will technically be. We're gonna have Rockets versus Warriors at Warriors' home, well, their new home. Celtics versus Raptors at Toronto, and Pelicans versus the Nuggets at Denver. And last one, sorry, Bucks versus the 76ers at Philly. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matchups in one day.
It's going to be, I can't move from the TV. Like, I'm going to have to open my gifts in front of the TV. I'm going to have to eat my turkey and, you know, stuffing in front of the TV. Like, I'm not going to move from in front of the TV because, first off, you have all these teams that either are rivals, well, most of them are rivals, or some kind of dramatic entwine between the two. And then you have, like, now it's, like, a few months after, you know, the beginning of the season. So these teams are really going to be meshing and playing probably way different than they were on October 22nd to the 29th, you know, whatever, during that first full week of games. So I'm excited to see all of, and it's all the stars, every star you can possibly think of, you know, returning NBA champions you have, you know. Honestly, I'm excited for the Bucks versus 76ers game because I really think that both of those teams have a lot to prove in the Eastern Conference, and they know that each other are the ones to beat.
Yeah, they're like at least top three, top five in the East, and so if they're playing one against each other, they have a lot to prove and to want to be like, okay, the Bucks beat us, but here we are, here we're coming back, or whatever. But yeah, that was gonna be an exciting game. I'm most excited for Rockets versus Warriors because I
knew you were gonna say that.
How did you know?
I knew
Oh my god, I cannot wait to see Harden and Westbrook on like one squad and then go against like Curry. Okay, granted, it'll probably just be Curry and Draymond Green because Thompson's still probably going to be injured and not going to play. But still, like, that combination, again, against the Warriors. Oh, I cannot wait.
I'm sure everybody's going to, like, be. I feel like how it's going to go, like, during, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, what? Who are they going to put, like, for prime time? Because between the Bucks and 76ers, the Rockets and the Warriors and the Lakers and the Clippers, I feel like those are the top three games. Like, you have the Celtics and the Raptors, but I feel like nobody's really – that's, like, kind of, like – I don't know. I feel like nobody's really super anticipating that game, but it is a good game to have on for Christmas Day. You know, so I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, who are they going to put, like, prime time television?
That's the game you want to open your presents to.
I know, basically. That's probably going to be, like, the first game of the day, and then it's going to, like, work its way out. Oh, and obviously, then you have the Pelicans and the Nuggets, too, which is kind of like, okay, like, Zion, yes, everybody wants to see Zion. But the Nuggets, they're already kind of a set team from last year. Nothing much has changed. They have Bo Boy, but... I mean, people are going to be watching him, like, the first few weeks.
and they're not going to be watching specifically for him either.
Exactly.
To me...
And he's probably going to be coming off the bench, if that.
Yeah, agreed. And then anyways, to me, I think, or what do you think, the Portland Trail Blazers are not mentioned on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. So, wow, I didn't even think about that.
So most of the teams... made it to, like, you know, the postseason last season, except the Pelicans. And so,
right.
I was thinking, well,
so they kind of stole their spot.
Yeah, so I feel like they kind of got a little bit snubbed, or, like, you know, Damian Lillard is not good enough for a Christmas Day game. Is that what you're trying to tell me? And I love some Dame Dollar.
I think what it was is that Zion beats out Damian Lillard.
Oh, of course. I think definitely that's what it was. But it's just like, wow. So that's what people think, that people are more willing to see Zion than Damian Lillard and, like, his squad. Which is totally fine. You know, it's happening. It's a league, and I believe it. But that's crazy. How much more does Damian Lillard have to do to kind of prove himself as, like, a player that's worthy of a primetime game or a Christmas Day game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just interesting to me. I am not trying to start stuff, but... Here I am stirring the pot.
I think honestly, they just have a little more to prove. Like, they're capable, but I just feel like Damian Lillard really put on a show of his own. Really last season, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, he showed off.
So it doesn't give his whole team credibility. Like, it gives him credibility, but it doesn't give, like, the whole Trailblazer organization credibility. I think if they had another bigger star on their team, then yeah, but
I mean,
still,
technically the same thing can be said about Zion. He's, like, probably the best person on the team right now, and he's, like, hasn't even played an NBA game. You know, unless, you know, you want to think of Lonzo Ball or Brandon Ingram or Josh Hart or whoever else they got, like, as superstars, which I don't think they are. But you know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. I felt it was kind of weird just because Damian Lillard has proved himself a little bit more. But I understand that people want to see Zion. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How much
they want to see that young, I think it's really that young core too, like, that people are really, really excited to just see function and play. And I'm kind of worried because a lot of pressure is on them to play well, I feel like. And I just, I don't know if they're gonna live up to it. But we'll see.
They're either gonna strive or they're gonna crack, and like you said, we'll see.
Especially since Zion seems so injury prone, so that's definitely going to be a big thing too. Because if Zion's hurt, you know, the whole season, then the Pelicans they're not as luxurious as they put themselves off to be.
And that's the thing with the younger players. I read an article and I've noticed on my own that they are getting injured more earlier on in their careers. So it's kind of like, what's going on? What's happening? Are they going to be able to have a full career? And if so, what's the problem behind all this, you know? And like you said, yeah. So they have this schedule leak. If he's injured come Christmas Day, that's not going to, nobody wants to see that game then. You know what I mean? But we shall see. Hopefully, you know, everything, all the basketball gods are in their favor and nobody gets injured this season, because the way everything's working out, everybody has to be healthy and ready. I do not want to see Westbrook injured, Harden injured, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Don't mess up my matchups, please.
No, right? I mean, looking at the flip script in the WNBA, they are dealing with exactly what we don't want to happen. They are injury prone the whole through and through, and it honestly has like thrown teams for a flip heading towards this playoff spout, because you have major players just out for the season, or haven't played as much games as they should have played because they were trying to get rest. And then you have people like, you know, women rock, so moms who haven't played this season. So like, just to be specific, Seattle doesn't have Breonna Stewart.
Yes.
The Aces have lost Asia Wilson for game in and game out. There's no Sue Bird's been injured this whole year. Phoenix doesn't have Diana Taurasi. I mean, and those are only a few to name, but those are the big, when you talk about the WNBA, most people know those names, you know, and those players are the ones that are not in.
And those are the important players that you need, especially like you said. It's so close to the playoffs. We're just a few weeks, less than a couple, I don't know, less or more. But we're almost there, and it's so tight that anybody, like, losing or missing a player, it's going to hurt their team drastically, where they're no longer going to be either in the postseason or trying to get a bye week. It comes down to that.
Exactly. Point. So I feel like, and even, you know, preseason predictions had, like, you know, the Aces at the top and the Sparks at the top, and you're not seeing those teams at the top because their players are injured or they're still trying to rekindle or mesh their new players that they have. So right now you have the Sun in the first spot, which is like, I don't remember the last time the Connecticut Sun was first in the WNBA rankings, I mean, to be honest with you. You have the Mystics, which is not surprising because Ella Delladon is literally one superstar that has managed not to get injured. Mind you, she has to wear a face mask to play.
Yeah.
And then you have Aces in third. And then the top eight is only separated by a few games each, which is not, I would say, not normal for the WNBA, but usually they're separated. They have a larger gap, you know, within those top few teams of games. And I think the fact that a lot of superstars are out have made it way more competitive, because now you have all these younger players or these players coming off the bench that are like, okay, it's time for me to prove myself. I have the time now. So that's kind of what set them up. And it's definitely very interesting to see. And I think it's great for women's basketball overall, because not only do you have this higher competition all of a sudden, but you also have more people looking at them. You know, they're on more mainstream TV now, and they're big with the whole promotion of the WNBA, and they have superstars coming to see them. So I think overall it's a different year for the WNBA, but I think it's a really great year too.
Yeah, it's totally different, and the injuries. You know, you never want to see a player get hurt or injured, but the way it has, like you said, transformed it a little bit, it kind of brings more competition and makes it more competitive. Because if you lose a player, and like you said, that top eight spots, those are tight. You lose a player, you go on a losing streak, you're probably out of the postseason, or you lost your seeding, or you lost your bye week. And that's basically, towards the end, is what you don't want to happen. And it's crazy that is what's happening. So everybody has to rely on the lesser known players if that's, you know, nothing against the way they play or how, or, you know, their ability. It's just that they're lesser known. So it's like, for example, for the Sparks, Candace Parker, sorry, she started off, you know, being injured. And then it had to rely on everybody else. And then now that she's back, you have to learn how to mesh with her back in there. So it's like, it's a whole new process and that every team has to go through. And it's crazy that it's happening all at the same time for the WNBA right now. Crazy.
Literally, every team is going through, like, the same thing. Like, they're all their major stars. At least one major star on every team has either been injured, is injured, or is recovering from an injury. Like, it's pretty crazy, but I just think overall women's sports this past year has been fantastic, so yes. You know, I have no complaints, but I definitely want to see, obviously, these superstars come back and play, because, you know, what's sports without superstars, you know?
Yes. I agree.
All right, thanks, guys. That's all we have for today. We hope you keep in touch. Come back. Follow us on social media. Make sure to listen to any episodes that you haven't listened to yet. And again, I am your co-host, Bronna Marks, and I'm with
Leslie Torres.